Welcome to the Phil Pringle Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
And I'm so excited about what I'm going to share with you today. I asked the Lord like halfway through the week, what am I going to talk about at City Harvest Church, my most favorite church in all the world, in Asia. Amen. I can't say in all the world because there'll be people in Sydney watching me right now, and they'll say, what about us? Well, yeah, definitely. In Sydney and in Australia and in the rest of the world, C3 Church, Oxford Falls, is my most favorite church. Amen. I love them with all my heart. Now, you make sure, come down to Presence next year, April 23rd to 26th. Your pastor's going to be preaching there. I made sure he would be there as one of our main preachers. We got Stephen Furtick and Dino Richard, a couple other guys. And it's going to, we've taken a way bigger hall because we were overflowing last time. And so we'd love to see you there. Hey, but today, what I want to share about is like a message that I preached many years ago, but I'm finding it coming alive on the inside of me again because I feel like so many believers need this and need to hear this again. And oftentimes we think we need to hear a new thing, but actually we need to be reminded of something that we already know. And Peter says, I want to stir you up by way of reminder. So revival can come by being reminded of things that we have forgotten, but that we need to recover. And so this message is like that, but I know that it's going to inject something into you that'll absolutely change your life. And that's why I'm so excited about it. As I was reading it today, I'd spent all day in my hotel room, went out for a little bit, but just sitting there thinking about this massive passage of scripture that is, and I've got so many scriptures here that you really need to have three pens ready to write and lots of paper or lots of iPads or whatever, phones. And if you're using your iPad or your phone, do not do emails, all right, amen. No emails, no messages, no texting, no searching the internet, no checking your bank account, amen. Just this, amen. So look, what I'm preaching out of is this book here called Faith. And if you haven't got this book, you need to get it. Because I heard a guy died, went to heaven the other day, but he got sent back because Peter said to him, if you got faith, you know, got the book, I feel pretty. He said, no. He said, oh, you got to go back. Sad, huh? You know, but anyway, and this one is But God, which is really a great book for you to get a hold of and put the butt, amen. I got to say this right. The butt of God's, amen. How can I say that without sounding irreverent? But God, you just got to get this butt into your world, amen. Some people have got the wrong butt in their world. You know, they go, but yeah, you say something positive, you go, it's going to be a great day. They go, yeah, but they need a buttectomy. And this, you need to get that butt cut out. And I know all of us want to lose our butt a little bit, but that is a butt that you do not want in your life. That cantankerous, fighting the good stuff butt. And this is our latest book, Hope, which if you haven't got yet, you should buy, because finally you can buy hope, and that's good. Amen. All right, I want you to come with me today to this scripture in Mark 11, verse 21. And I got two iPads up here, and their magnets are making them stick together. They're in love. Amen. All right, now, Mark 11, verse 21 says, and Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Like he's surprised that what Jesus said to a fig tree happened. So Jesus answers it, have faith in God. Have faith in God. You can speak to things that need to die and it's going to happen. Now he's not talking about when you have an argument with your husband and you just want him to go away, you know, like, or your children or something like that. No, he's not talking like that. There are things in your world, though, that need to be dealt with. And Jesus just spoke to it. And then in verse 23, it says, "Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, what things soever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." Now, come with me to the blackboard here. As I talk about faith today, one of the three greatest things that you can have in your world, and I think probably this has just gone off, so I'm just going to turn it on, and there you go. All right, so if we go up on our blackboard there, this here, which says, have faith in God. Can we see that? Is it going up? Not yet. Amen. It is there. Have faith in God. Now, you see that? Have faith in God. That, some translations make that have, whoops, sorry. I'm being like a school teacher. You know, you all. Have the faith of God. Not just have faith in God, but have the faith of God. Like God operates by faith. He doesn't operate by brute strength. What he does by rules and laws and principles that you and I can do. We are made in the image of God, and he is asking us to actually operate by the very same principles. Now, faith is extremely important. The just will live by faith. It's repeated like 10 times throughout Scripture. The justified will live by faith. If you're going to live a justified life, a life that's right with God, a life that is declared righteous, then you have got to move into faith. Now, the great thing about faith is this, is that you can switch it on. Everybody has faith. Romans 12:3 says that. And you can switch that faith on when you need it. Now, where does faith come from? It comes from the Word of God coming into your world. Romans 10:17 says, then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when you hear the Word of God, faith starts to rise on the inside of your spirit. As soon as we move away from faith, we try to impress God with sincerity, or we try and impress God with our works, what we have done. God, I've done this. Surely you're going to bless me. Or we try and impress him with our good looks. Won't work. Amen. I don't know what you're trying to impress God with, but none of it will work except faith. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Even faith that's in your life is like a gift from God. It's the foundation of the entire Christian life. And yet it's one of the most elusive qualities that you're going to find in your life. You will find that faith is like, it's like a battery. You use it up. You use it, use it, use it, use it. You're believing, you're believing, you're positive, you're believing, you're strong, and then one day, it's not there. You say, ah, I feel like giving up. Or you feel negative. You get into one of those but moods. Yeah, but God said he would, but. And sometimes you're waiting for a promise to come to pass, and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting. It can be a single person waiting to get married. It can be a couple waiting to have a child. It can be somebody waiting to get a promotion or job. It can be somebody waiting for their family to get saved, their husband to come to Christ, their children to come. Waiting, waiting, believing, waiting, believing. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I believe, I believe, I believe. Then after 10 years, one day it's like, this is stupid. Why am I keep on believing? You know, and your faith runs out. Faith can run out on your life. And that's why we need to hear it all the time. For some people, it's not 10 years, it's 10 hours. I met people like it's 10 seconds. They're believing in church. As soon as they get outside, they go, ah, it'll never happen though. And you need to believe to keep yourself in an atmosphere where the power of God travels. Now, you've heard me tell this. The story about faith is that atmosphere in which the power of God travels. God's power travels in an atmosphere of faith. When you have got positive, courageous, bold, confident faith, that's where the power of God moves. When you've got doubt, timidity, unbelief, doesn't move. I have a swimming pool in our house in Sydney, and if I go down in there and I'm goofing off in my swimming pool down the backyard, and you come in and plug in a hairdryer and switch it on and throw it in the pool, I'll feel something. Because electricity travels through water. Water is a conductor of electricity. That's why I feel something. But if I take a big block of rubber, cut the wires on the hair dryer and put them in one side, and I put my hand on the other, I will feel nothing. Because rubber is an insulator. So rubber is like unbelief. It's like when you're negative. It's when you're doubting. It's when you haven't had the Word of God coming into your life and no faith is there and God wants to do something powerful in your life, but it's not going to happen. Now, here's the deal. You need faith when you need faith. I know that's so very profound. But listen to me, it is profound. You don't need faith when you don't need faith. It's getting deeper. Amen. When everything's going great, you don't need to believe God. Wow, this is amazing. But when a problem hits, that's when you need faith. But the problem with the problem is that the problem tries to overwhelm your faith. And when a problem comes, negative things hijack your thinking. And something negative comes into your mind and it pulls your positive mind over into a negative framework and you start seeing the future in very black terms. So now is when you need to switch on faith and come back to believing. That's when you need to hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, because he who made the promise is faithful, Hebrews 10:23 says. So once you have realized that I have got to be a believer by decision, not by just having circumstances going well for me. Yeah, I believe God, nothing's wrong. Well, that's too easy. You need to believe God when everything's going wrong and not give up your faith. And so when there is a problem, that's an opportunity for you to believe God. Regularly in committee meetings, board meetings, department head meetings, all kinds of meetings that I'm involved in and your board and your team are involved in, there are always problems. There's always problems coming in through the door. We haven't got enough money for that. This person wants some money for that. This person's threatening to do this. This person's leaving. That person said that, you know, oh, we got the problem with this guy. Okay. As a pastor, you're always dealing with all these things. And when you're a young pastor, when I was 23 and I had my first church, every time I'd hear a problem, my stomach would turn. Oh God. Oh, here's another one. Oh. And I get that big wash of anxiety go through your emotions. And it goes, your whole stomach tingles. And your brain can't think. You go, oh, what do we do? You got brain freeze because, I don't know, we're going under. And you think all the time, it's not going to work. God's left us. People would come. Some people would come, like, I remember one couple came, and the husband says, oh, there's a groundswell of feeling in the church. There's a big undercurrent of feeling about this decision you're making about buying this. And I thought, oh. But I'd learned a little by then. I'd learned that people sometimes say there is things, but it's actually not there. I said, well, can you give me the names? Oh, no, we can't give names. I can't give names. Well, just one name. Well, my wife, she thinks. And I said to the wife, I said, well, who else is there? Is it your friends? No, not really. So it's just you. Yeah, I don't think we should do that. You're a big undercurrent, you know, like, yeah. And I would find anxiety would try and steal my faith. Worry would try and take faith out of my system. So I had to make a decision as a pastor to start believing. Instead of being an unbelieving believer, I decided to be a believing believer. Amen. And so once you've made a decision to switch the faith you've got on, you'll find that faith starts to talk. Now here in Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible to put a smile on God's face without confidence and positivity and courageousness. If you are living in fear and intimidation, you're not going to find yourself getting the favor of God down on your world. God loves it when we believe. Now, we would like it to be in a different zone where we'd say something like, God must be so happy with me, I've suffered so much. God must be so happy with me, I'm enduring so badly. I'm in so much pain, I go through so many terrible things. God must be really happy. That doesn't make God happy. He gets happy when you are up in spite of everything being down. When you decide you're going to live like a king. When you decide you're going to live the life of an overcomer. And you decide, you know what? I'm going to get a hold of my new creation man because I've been regenerated. Now, you know what that means. Your genetic code has been changed. You have been regenerated. You got a new set of genes. And I'm not talking about Levi's. I'm talking about your genetic code on the inside of you has been adjusted. You are a conqueror. You are not living a life trying to get to be a conqueror. You're living a life that is unpackaging the conqueror within. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us, the Bible says. That means I don't have to conquer. I'm sitting down with Christ in heavenly places right now in my life. There is nothing that is above me. There is everything that is beneath me. I got my foot on the devil. I got my foot on sickness. I got my foot on debt. I got my foot on problems. I got my foot on circumstances. Jesus has elevated us to be seated at the right hand of the throne of God in victory in Jesus' name. I've been born again. Amen. Without faith, you won't please God. So now, in this service, I want you to switch your faith on. I want you to say, I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
Amen. Not all of you over here said it. Say it, tell me.
I'm a believer.
Amen. Over here.
I'm a believer.
Amen. All the ones in the middle.
I'm a believer.
Say this, City Harvest Church is full of believers.
City Harvest Church is full of believers.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Now, some people think that they haven't got faith. They say, ah, that's okay for you. This scripture, I'm sorry, it disagrees with you. In fact, I'm going to do it in blue. Amen. Well, that's probably purple. God has dealt to everyone. Oh, it's gone? It's disappeared. Okay. It just does this. Technology's great when it works. Amen. God has dealt to everyone the measure of faith. You have faith in you. I don't care who you are. You are born with faith. You can't get saved without faith. It would be unfair of God to say you can't get saved without faith and then not give you any. You've got faith. You have faith in that pilot every time you get on the plane. You've never met him. You can't see him. And you believe that he didn't cheat in his exams. Amen. You have faith in your dentist. That he didn't have somebody else do all the examination papers for him when he starts drilling into your teeth. You have faith in the neurosurgeon. He puts you out. Bong. It's going to give you a new brain. Amen. Whatever it is. Okay, now faith is an issue of the heart. It's not just of the head. With the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. This is really where I want to go, because your heart will believe what your mouth says about you. It's so simple. And yet, you know, when I first saw this, this was one of the first big revelations I ever had as a believer and as a leader. I thought, wow. And then I saw it work. I would start speaking things and it would happen. And then I would speak things and it would change me. It would change my thinking. It was like my brain was a computer and my mouth was the keyboard. And I'd put the data in and dung, I'd believe it. I'd speak the word of God and it would change me. I'd have faith. I'd move from anxiety to faith. If I got all anxious, got the stomach turned, whoo, feel anxious, I'd say, my God will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And faith would come into me. Because when I spoke it, I believed it. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. And when you speak it to yourself, you're going to hear yourself speak scripture. It's the most powerful, simple thing you can do. And when I first understood this, I thought, man, I'm not going to tell anybody. This is too good a secret. If they catch on, the competition will be too high. I don't want anybody to know about this. And God said, don't you dare withhold revelation that I've given you. So I started preaching it. But you know what? I found it doesn't matter. I can preach it all the time. People don't do it anyway. Amen. So there's no competition. You know, it's like they go, yeah, yeah, amen, amen. And then they go out and they start talking negatively. They don't speak the word of God. But you need to speak the word of God. City Harvest Church, I believe you're a different class of people. I believe that you are victors and conquerors and people who will take the word and will speak it. And you'll start confessing scripture. Oh, I'm telling you, we're only just getting warmed up here. Okay, now, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke, we also believe, and therefore speak. Anytime you got faith, you're going to speak. Faith will always speak. It does several things. It acts, take steps, but I'm just talking about this area today. I believed, and therefore I spoke. This is in reference to David slaying Goliath. He believed he'd take Goliath, and then he spoke it. He says, I will take your head off your shoulders today, you big ugly brute. He prophesied and said, this is what's going to happen. It's not a matter of speaking something that your heart doesn't believe. It's a matter of your heart believing and your speaking what your heart is believing. And when you get your confession and your heart in alignment, you become more powerful than an atomic bomb. You are going to cause an explosion in your world. And what we need to speak over City Harvest Church right now is growth, like exponential growth at Expo. Increase, expansion, liberty, freedom. The blessing of God will continue no matter what, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the confession. Another word for that is profession. I got a pen in here I can use instead of my finger. Profession. Okay. Which is the speaking forth of. It comes from a Hebrew word, which is homologia, which means to speak the same thing. Okay? Speak the same thing as God. What is God saying? That's what I'm going to say about a given situation. God says, this is going to be removed. He says, this bread and fish will be multiplied. He says, I'll walk on the water. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Wherever he spoke, it was good things. He brought healing. He brought forgiveness. He brought blessing. I don't know how some people's brains work, but it seems that they read the scripture and all they can see is bad stuff. You know, God's mean. God's evil. God's bad. Don't get in trouble with God. He'll wipe you out. He kills lots of people. That's how they see him. And you know what? If you got a negative mindset, you could read the Bible like that. If you're a melancholic, you might need to switch that faith on every second of your life until it becomes more natural for you to see the goodness of God. If you have trouble seeing that God is good, then it's because you're living at a low level of faith. And you've got to lift our faith level up because faith always contacts and sees the goodness of God. Faith sees God as good. Unbelief sees God as severe. Read Romans 11. There's a whole chapter about it. Those who fell because of unbelief experienced the severity of God. Those who experienced the goodness of God were those who believed. So as long as you stay in faith, you're going to experience the goodness of heaven showering down all over your world. Amen. Now, the reason we can hold fast the profession of our faith or hope without wavering. Have we gone again? Okay. I'm just going to stay on top of it. Amen. Okay, there we go. It just disappears for some reason. Okay. Are we back? We're back. Amen. The profession of our hope without wavering. without going left to the right. Hold fast the profession, even if your heart is going this way and that way. If it's going up or down, you can hold fast the confession of your faith. You can keep saying the word of God in spite of everything else that's going on. Okay, now, because you've got to hold fast this profession of your faith, you need to stir up on the inside of you this faith by speaking it. And here it says, therefore I remind you, and this is Paul reminding timid Timothy, to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Why? For God has not, everybody say this with me, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now here's the thing. You have not got a spirit of fear from God. If you are fearful, that's not from God. And that word there is timidity. I need a teacher to tell me how to spell it. Timidity. You are not a timid person. The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. I want everyone to do something weird today in church. I want you to roar. One, two, three. That was terrible. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I sound like pussycats. Guys. We're going to roar. You're bolder than a lion. You ready? One, two, three. Cool. Yeah. Scared me. That's powerful. That's what you got to have on the inside of you, the roar of a lion. You're majestic. You're royalty. You've got the posture of a king, not the spirit of fear. Now, the reason we need to be told that God has not given us a spirit of fear, sometimes the devil will try and let you think that your anxiety and your nervousness and your timidity is from God, that it's a godly thing to be timid and not confident. It's a godly thing to be a little bit withdrawn and inferior and to walk around with, oh, I'm not very good. No, I'm not. I'm just a little nothing. I'm a little higher than a worm maybe, but not much. You know, I just don't think I'm anything big. No. That's not from God. But there are religious spirits that would try and tell you that that's more pious than the confident person. That somehow a Christian is a backward person, is a poor person. That humility is to have small thinking. But the believer is bold, big, colorful. Christians are big people. They change the world. They change the history of the world. They are prosperous. They rule like kings in the earth. And you and I need to take a hold of the scripture and see ourselves as God sees us. He has given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. You will lose power, love, and sanity if you let fear grip your life. You will not have a sound mind. You'll be thinking weird stuff. You'll get neurotic and paranoid. And some of the answers that you were trying to get through therapy and medication could be gotten if you just flicked the switch and said, I'm going to start believing God, and held fast to the profession of faith in your mouth and started speaking the powerful word of God through your lips. It'll change your whole world. All right, James 1:23. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be what? What's it say? Blessed. This is like going to Bible college, isn't it? Amen. But if you can get this, it'll transform your life. You're going to get blessed if you're not a forgetful hearer of what you see about yourself in the Bible. So what do you see about yourself? You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. You're healed. You're forgiven. You're blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. So what happens, though, is that we look in the mirror in the Word of God and we see this, and then we go away and we see, oh, no, I've got bills, I've got debts. And you go like, I'm terrible with money. I can't manage money. I got too many debts. I got small income and large outgoings. I can't seem to get on top of it. You start talking like that. You've forgotten what manner of man you are. You're brilliant with money. I said, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. Stop arguing with me. Amen. You are brilliant with money. The Bible says you are. You are healthy. No, I'm not. I'm sick. No, you're healthy. Stop arguing with me. You're prosperous. You're blessed. But you don't know what happened to me this week. My car broke down. My canary died. Lost all my washing out the window. You know, I've had a bad week and now I've got the sniffles. Stop talking like that. Hold fast the confession of your faith without wavering. Don't let your circumstances overwhelm your faith. Amen. Go ahead. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty, I love the Bible, it sets you free. If what you're seeing in the Bible is not setting you free, then keeps on going off. Amen. We're good. The perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful error. The law of the Word of God will set you free. It won't bind you up. If you're getting bound by what you believe, what you're believing is not the truth. Willie,
it's not on.
Well, you're a miracle worker. This is Willie, everybody. If you didn't know Willie, amen. There, it should be on. Okay, just wave at me if it's not on. I'll do that for you. Amen. Save you running up here. How many children do you have, Willie? One. How many more are you going to have? One more. Where's your wife? Is she here? She agree? Amen. Yeah. It's good to get the wife in agreement with things like that. Amen. I remember you when you were not married. Amen. He was so miserable. He was such a sad boy, you know, but now he's married. All right. So when you look into the Word of God, it will set you free. It's a perfect law of liberty and continues in it. Not just one day of looking in the Word of God. As a believer, every day you need to be feeding on the Bible. And it says, this one will get blessed in whatever he does. Okay, now, the thing that you've got to keep in your thinking is not your past failures. If you are focusing on your past failures, you're going to limit what you do in the future. So the Bible says, do not remember the former things. Now, Paul just said to Timothy, I want to stir you up and remind you of what you know. But there are some things you should forget. And I met a lot of people who have said to me, they've got a bad memory. Well, most people I've found do not have a bad memory. They have a bad forgettery. They forget the things they should remember and forget the things they should and remember the things they should forget. Stop remembering your sins. Every time you think of them, you cringe. Oh, I wish I hadn't done that. Oh, gee, what did I do that for? Oh. Look, it's 23 years ago now. It's over. And you might come to God and say, oh, God, I'm so sorry about what I did. He says, what is that? What did you do? Say, you know what I did in 1962. It was a Tuesday night. It was 7 o'clock. God says, well, I'll have a look. I got nothing in my books. Jesus, you know what you did? No. Angels, you got any idea? No. But the devil's trying to remind you and make you feel bad, trying to pull you down. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. So what he is saying, a preoccupation with the past prevents you from appropriating your future. If you're always thinking about what was, you're not going to be thinking about what is going to be. The future of City Harvest Church is so bright, all of us should buy sunglasses. Amen. It is brilliant. We are moving into a future that is blessed and honored and covered by the hand of God. Blessing will fall on our world. Don't try and create a future based on your past or your present. Base it on the Word of God. Okay, so what James was saying is the man looks in the mirror, sees who he is, goes his way, meets a problem, and suddenly forgets who he is. So I wanted to just spend a little time on seeing what the mirror says about us. Who are we? So 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now we are the children of God." Who are we? We're the image of God in the earth. If you're a child of God, you have his image straight away. Now, I know that most of us think you get an inheritance when you die, right? Everybody thinks, when my father dies, I'm going to get an inheritance. In the Roman world, that is not how it worked. As soon as you were born, you got the inheritance. It was yours. All that the father had was yours. You'd be under guidance to know how to handle it, but gradually as time passed, while your father was alive, you would get to partake of the inheritance. That's exactly what's happened when you get born again. Immediately, you've become an inheritor of everything that God has. Nobody has to die. Nobody has to pass away. You are an inheritor with Christ of all that Jesus has received from the hand of the Father. You have it right now. Right now, you are the image of God in the earth. Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So here's the thing. You have the image of God in you. The same image that created a universe. The same image that rules over all of creation. That image is in you. The dominion factor is in you right now. Colossians 2:9, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. You are complete right now. Perfectly perfect is one of the words that there means, pleru. You are perfectly perfect. You're completely complete. You are finished. Somebody said marriage completes a man. I know it finished me. Amen. But the thing is, when you have Christ in your life, you are complete. That's it. As far as God is concerned, he sees you holy and blameless and without reproach. When you look in the mirror, you think, that's who I am. But you go your way and you find yourself doing things that disappoint you, where you stumble and you fall and you mess up. You think, oh, God, I'm so terrible. Go back to the Word of God and it sees you're complete in him. And you will find that you start to work from a different basis. If I'm complete in him, that means I'm a really good father. It means I'm an incredible husband. It means I'm really good with money. It means as a minister, I'll be able to do a very good job running a church, preaching the Word of God. If I have any negative thoughts about my fathering, my husbanding, my handling of money, my management of people, management of time, if I think, oh, I'm hopeless, I just got to go to the book and say, no, I'm brilliant at it. And I will find that I, my mind, my circumstances and everything start to conform to what I believe about my life. Our life conforms to what we believe about ourselves. Can you hear me? I'm going to say it again. Our life conforms to what we believe about ourselves. What do you believe about yourself? Do you believe you're good looking? Somebody might have told you you're ugly when you're young. Cancel that out. Say, I'm beautiful. Amen. That's for the girls. Amen. Guys, you say, I'm handsome. Amen. I'm rugged. I'm good looking. As a Connect group leader, you say, I'm such a good pastor. I'm so good at shepherding the people of God and looking after them. When I'm on television, I say, everybody's going to love watching me on this TV show. People are going to love what I say. And you know what? I get letters all the time saying, love what you say. If I got up there, I thought, oh, I don't know if anybody's going to like what I got to say. I'd last on television, I think, a couple of weeks. You got to believe that what you've got is good. That what you are is good for the world. That what you've got in the inside of your mind and the inside of your heart is the image of God. That you can bring healing and deliverance and life wherever you go. I want you to change your world today and change your thinking by starting to confess the word of God. Hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering, for he is faithful who made the promise. Amen. All right, now, I got a really good example of somebody who did this. His name is Jesus. Amen. He constantly said things like, I am the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. Constantly, he worked on establishing and echoing and mirroring his identity to himself. All of you have heard of identity theft. There's a worse thing that can happen than you losing your credit card and your details and your passwords. That's that you lose God's image of you, how God sees you. You see, because a lot of people, all their reference point is their context, their flat that they live in, the family they came from, the degrees they have on the wall, their job, that's who I am. Wrong. Who you are, is who God says you are. That's your context. Jesus was walking through the earth and he's saying, I am before Abraham was. I am the bread of life. Constantly reaffirming his identity. Not only to the people he's talking to, but to himself. Because your self-image is the one thing the devil will try and undermine more than anything else. How you see yourself. What you believe about yourself. So, when he comes to Jesus, he doesn't attack him on any other point other than his self-image. If you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. It wasn't a temptation to turn stones into bread. It was a temptation to affirm that he was the Son of God by an act, an outward act. Instead of believing what God had told him at the River Jordan, saying, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So what am I going to believe? The context of what I do, my job, my family, or anything else around me? Or am I going to believe what God has told me? Jesus decided when he was tempted, I'm going to believe what God has told me. I am a beloved son. He loves me. And there are days when you're going to think, I don't know if God loves me. You got to go back to River Jordan and say, my father loves me. Even though I can't think it or feel it, I'm going to hold fast the profession of what the Word of God says, even when my heart has drifted away from that reality. Amen. We're going off again. I'll just... Okay. So here, all the way through, when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, etc., etc. How does Jesus fight this? Does he say, go away, devil, you bad, naughty person. I don't like you. You ugly, horny, hoof-foot thing, person, nasty man, go away. Does he say that? No. He says, it is written. Now, if Jesus needed to confess the word of God when he was fighting to establish his identity, when the identity thief was coming to try and steal that out of his system, Jesus said, I'm going to speak the word of God. The Bible is a two-edged sword. When you speak it, one edge smites the devil, the other edge builds your faith. So you will find you destroy demon powers that are trying to bring you down and intimidate you and make you nervous every time you speak the word of God. We won't go through this whole scripture. But he keeps referring to the scripture every time the devil comes to him. Here's all his confessions about himself. I am the door. I am the way. I am the bread of life. I am the true vine. What do you say about yourselves? Do you say, I am fantastic with money? I am a healed, healthy person. I am living in victory. My emotions are happy. I've got a sound mind. On the inside of your mind, put a smile there. I meet believers sometimes and they're so intense. Say, hi, how are you? I'm really good. You having fun? Oh, I'm having so much fun being a Christian. Lighten up. You don't have to be so intense. Smile. Let the sun shine in your head. Let the sun shine in your heart. I think some believers need to get a little more shallow. I know we want to get deep all the time, but maybe sometimes we just need to get happy. Oh, that happy clappy thing, I'm not into that. I'm deeper. You're miserable, that's what you are. Try rejoicing. The world needs more of it. Look, the Israelites at Kadesh Barnea, when they came to the river and they sent the spies out, the spies came back and they said, we saw giants there, the descendants of Anak from the giants. We were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. You know, when you meet a problem, that problem can seem so big that it makes you feel very small. You suddenly feel like, we're so small. This problem is so big. We're just like little grasshoppers. In fact, even that's too big. We're just like fleas. Tiny little fleas hopping around trying to... No. Joshua and Caleb, they were men of faith. They said, no, there's a bread for us. We're going to get through this easy. We can take this. We're built for this. In fact, Joshua and Caleb said, they're bread for us. They said, we're going to get nourished by taking this on. And the land was a big land. The guy said, it's big, it's huge. The cows are big. The bees are this big. The grapes are big. Everything's big. But the people are too. And we don't know how to fight. Now, here's the thing. You got to understand that faith, where does faith come from? It comes from the Word of God. Not miracles. You can see 1,000 miracles and it won't give you faith. Some people say, if I could only see Jesus, if I could only see a dead person get raised from the dead, if I could only see somebody jump out of a wheelchair, then I'd believe. No, you won't. The thing that gives you faith is the Word of God. These people had seen more miracles than you'll ever see in your whole life. They had seen a Red Sea split open. And they had walked through looking at fish swimming in the water, head coming out, going back in. They'd walked through walls of water. They had seen a pillar of fire coming out of heaven and a cloud covering them by day. They'd seen water pouring out of a rock. They had seen miracle after miracle after miracle. But when they came to face the giants, they said, oh, we can't do it. It didn't give them any faith to believe that this is something we can overcome. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. These people were not speaking the Word of God to themselves. They constantly complained. They constantly said, what have you brought us out here for, Moses? You're going to kill us out here. What a miserable idea it was to get set free from Egypt and then to come out here and kill us in a wilderness. They just talked like that all day. They didn't say, God is with us. God is for us. Nothing can stop us. Nothing's impossible to him who believes. They created an atmosphere of doubt in which the power of God could not move. But had they created an atmosphere of faith, the power of God could have traveled right through that and slain every giant in their way. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Why have you got the Holy Spirit? So that you might have knowledge, that you might get educated about what God has given you. Now, I've been talking about who we are. Now, I just want to talk a little bit about what we have. Who we are is the image of God. We're conquerors, more than victors. But also, it's not just about understanding our identity. It's understanding what we have, the equipment that he's put in our hands, so that we might know what we've got, and that's been freely given to us by God. Revelation has got to come into our spirit. Hosea the prophet says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. They don't have revelation in their spirit, and they get hammered. They don't know they're healed. Or they might know it in their brain, but they don't know it in their spirit. They get hammered in their finances because they don't know they're prosperous. They have forgotten when they looked into the perfect law of liberty, they walked away and they forgot what they are. They looked at the giants in the land of Canaan and they forgot that they have conquered a whole nation called Egypt, way bigger than Canaan. They forgot that they could do anything. Through Christ, all things are possible. Nothing is impossible to him who believes. Nothing is impossible to him who believes. Everybody say that with me. Nothing is impossible to him who believes. Who believes? Who believes? Give it to me. Who believes? Nothing's impossible to a Christian. No, it doesn't say that. Nothing's impossible to a person who goes to church. No, it doesn't say that. Nothing's impossible to the born-again person. No, it doesn't say that. Plenty of born-again people don't believe. Believing means I'm going to switch my positive, confident, bold self on. I can do it. And I'm going to do it by confessing with my mouth what the scripture says about me. So I don't forget who I am and what I have. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you'll know the truth. You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Free from all the things that are trying to destroy you. Okay, Abraham Lincoln. Interesting story in 1865 when he had won the Civil War. And is that the right date? I think it is. At the end of the Civil War, he had emancipated all the slaves and legislation was passed. But in the South, many of the slave owners didn't let any of their slaves read or write or learn how to read or write. And therefore, even though the law had been passed that you're all set free, most of them didn't know it. And the slave owners made sure that they weren't going to learn about it. So they were forbidden to have any books, any newspapers. They were forbidden to go to any schools because they might learn the truth. And the truth would set them free. In the circus, when they get a young elephant, they'll tie a chain around its leg, put a stake in the ground, and the elephant, little elephant, goes, tries to pull away, and he can't because the chain is tied to the stake. So he just stands there all day long trying to get away and eventually gives up and just stands there. Years later, all they need to do is put the stake in the ground. No chain on the leg. The elephant sees the stake and just stands there. Because in his brain, there's a chain around his leg tied to the stake. He's bound for a lack of revelation that he is now free. He could walk away. But in his mind, he's not free. And in many people's minds, they're still not free. They need to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. The only way that happens is by becoming an overcomer through the word of God. 1 John 5 verse 4, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Oh, this is so good. Is this helping you? If it's not helping you, it's helping me all on my own up here. Amen. Listen to me. An eagle doesn't know it can fly. The mother builds this huge craggy nest way up on the rocks, hundreds of feet in the air. Horrible nest. It's got sticks of thorns and rough bark and all kinds of things. And then the eagle puts soft stuff, feathers and fluffy stuff in there. But one day, Mother Eagle loses her mind. And she starts pulling out all the fluffy stuff. And little eaglet sits there, what's gotten into Mom? She's wrecking the house. She pulls out all the fluffy stuff, and now it's all thorny. And the little eaglets go, I don't like this. And Mom keeps wrecking the nest. The little eaglet gets out of the nest. And Mother Eagle nudges little eagle towards the cliff edge. Little eagle doesn't know it can fly. Got no idea. It's going, what, Mom, what are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? He goes, bam, pushes little eaglet off the ledge. Little eaglet goes, da, 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 down. Mother eaglet comes, swoops under, catches little eagle. Oh, thanks, Ma. Takes little eaglet back up on the cliff, nudges her out, dunk, 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 boom. Up she goes, falling through there. Mother eaglet goes, stretch your wings out. Little eagle's got, what wings? What wings? The thing's on your side. Can't control her. Down comes Mother Eaglet again. Mother Eagle picks her up on her wings, takes her up. Now, little eaglet, you're an overcomer. You don't know you are, but you can fly. You don't have to fall. You don't have to crash. You've got power in you. You're built for victory. You're built for soaring. You're an eagle. You're a royal bird. It doesn't know it yet, but it's got to have a trial before it discovers it. So Mother Eagle pushes her out again, out to the edge. Bah! Put your wings up. Little eaglet discovers that it really can fly. What a feeling that first flight must feel like for little eagle. The first time that you start living above your circumstances, even though they haven't changed, but you find you're an overcomer. You can't be an overcomer if you've got nothing to overcome. But when you've got something to overcome, you can prove that you can live above your circumstances because you're an overcomer. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. What is it that overcomes the world? Our tithing? No. Should do that, but that's not. What overcomes the world? Attendance at church? No. You should do that, but that's not the thing. I'm a Connect Group leader. No. It's your faith. Where do you get faith from? The Bible. The Word of God is where you get faith from. Glenn Cunningham. Man, what a story of Glenn Cunningham. He was the first man to almost break the world record of running the 4-minute mile when the doctors recommended amputating his legs because of burns in a fire that killed his brother, but he lived. He was so distressed his parents would not allow it. The doctors predicted he might never walk normally again. He had lost all the flesh on his knees and shins and all the toes on his left foot. 2 years later, he started to walk again. He had a positive attitude as well as a strong faith. His favorite Bible verse was Isaiah 40, verse 31. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. But they had said he'll never walk again. No chance. His mother watched Glenn take hold of an old plow, and with a hand on each handle, he made his crippled legs move. Soon he was walking. Then he was jogging. Before long, he was running. Now he became even more determined. I always believed that I could walk, and I did. Now I'm going to run faster than anybody has ever run, and he did. Glenn became a great runner who in 1934 set the world's record for running a mile in 4:06. 4 minutes and 6 seconds. He won many medals and he broke many world records. A boy, they were going to cut his legs off because he was so damaged. Lost all the toes on his left foot. And he became the world's fastest runner. Meditating on a scripture, they shall run and not be weary. The word of God can change your life simply by meditating. I want to talk about this as I come to a close in these next couple minutes. Psalm 1, verse 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But, everybody say but. You know, there are some things you'll get blessed because you don't do them. There's some things you get blessed because you do. But if you don't do some things, God's going to bless you. Blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. But his delight, he loves the Bible. If you have lost a love or an appetite for the Bible, there's something, that's an indicator that your vital signs of your spiritual life are not good. It's like the doctor will check your heart, your breathing, to find out if you're healthy, your temperature. Your appetite, your passion for the Bible tells you whether your spiritual life is healthy or not. When you're healthy, you want to eat wonton soup, Peking duck. You want to eat everything, chili pepper crabs. When you're sick, you don't want any of it. Not even a McDonald's hamburger. You can't eat it. When we're sick, we don't have an appetite for the Bible. But when we're healthy, and the more of the Word of God you eat, the more healthier you're going to get. Because it has healing power inside of it. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He loves it. And in his law, he meditates day and night. That means to mutter or to imagine or to ponder. In his law, he meditates when it's light and when it's dark, in the good times, in the bad times. Now, meditation is the digestive faculty of your soul. When you meditate, take a scripture and regurgitate it in your mind. Now, I know that this church is brilliant at going through the Bible in 1 year. Many of you have gotten prizes for you've actually fulfilled the entire year. You read through the scripture in a whole year, and yeah, I did it. That's fantastic. I got to make a confession to you as a pastor. I have started 1 year Bible reading programs just about every year of my Christian life. This is my confession, and you'll probably think, what kind of a pastor is that? I've never completed one of them. I have broken them all. I get up to Exodus and the hoof-footed and the boiling a kid in milk and locusts and things like this. And you know what I found? And I know you've never found this because you're way more disciplined than I am. But I found that I could read 5 chapters and not know what I'd read. Not remember one thing I'd read. Read the Psalm, read the Matthew bit. And I could say, yeah, I've read it. But I didn't know what I'd read. If you asked me, I'd say, I don't know. I was thinking about dinner. I was thinking about a problem I've got, you know, that I've got to deal with. I was reading it. I was doing what I was meant to do, but it wasn't going in. But I have found you can read and it will go in, obviously. But if you take one passage, one sentence, and you meditate on it, repeat it to yourself, speak it out and think it over in your brain chews it. Like a cow chews its cud. A cow has 4 stomachs. And so it chews a piece of grass, drops it down. Halfway through the day, brings it back up again. Has another chew. Goes down to the next stomach. Brings it up again, back down. 30,000 chews a day a cow has. You see them all. The Bible says these are the cloven hoof animals. You can eat them. I'm called an oxen, a minister. So what I'm meant to have is hot food for God's people. How many of you have ever eaten a raw sausage? Anybody here ever eaten a raw sausage? At a youth camp, they might have made you. Aries at Emerge made you eat. It's disgusting. They taste terrible. How about raw meat? Raw chicken. Ooh, raw duck. Raw beef. Ooh. What about dough? You have eaten dough? Like, that's disgusting. Ugh. Okay, here's the thing. If I'm jogging in the morning and I smell the baker, I can smell fresh bread, dough being baked. You know what? Mr. Atkins can turn over in his grave. I'm going to have some carbs right now. Amen. Fresh bread. Or you have a barbecue, you start cooking your sausages and your steak and your chicken legs. Your neighbor is going to come over, lean on the fence, say, painted your house lately? No. He's such a liar. All he wants is he wants one of those sausages. Because it smells so good. Your spirit is an oven for the Word of God. So when the dough of the Word gets in there, it starts to cook your connect group. The people you talk to out of the Word are going to feel like, I'm so hungry for that. That makes you a compelling church. Makes you a magnetic people. When the Word of God is hot and fresh on the inside of you, it's like you're barbecuing meat. People are drawn to that smell, drawn to the food of the Word of God. It doesn't happen unless you meditate in the Bible day and night and you think on it and write it down. As you think on the Word of God, it digests from your mind as information to your spirit as revelation. And once it gets down on the inside of you, it creates faith and starts to transform you. It says, you will be like a tree planted by rivers of water. You'll bring forth fruit in its season. I have a lot of people who are leaders in our church. And people say, man, you must spend a lot of time with them. I don't. We have literally thousands of leaders around the world who are running churches, worship leaders, doing all kinds of things. And some of them I've never even talked to. But they would say I was discipled in that church. It wasn't as though there was a personal thing going on. It's that when they hear the Word of God coming into their life, like these scriptures that I've given you today, and I've been in church meetings where there's like half a scripture and that's it. You got to understand the Word of God is your primary source of strength, wisdom, guidance, food, light, encouragement, most of all, faith coming into your spirit. I'm telling you, if there's no Bible, there's no faith coming into people's worlds. That's what our whole life is built on, the Word of God. We're not just telling stories for story's sake. We're trying to illustrate this Bible because that's what gives you faith, brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf, the ability to heal, will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. This is the last scripture. I know it's been a little kind of long message, but I felt like preaching. Amen. Takes a while for this one to get home. But it's important that you get this, because we haven't got any happy pills we can give you just to brighten your day. No gas that we're going to put in the atmosphere that'll make you all kind of goofy and happy. This will make your light shine. Digest the Word of God into you, and it has enough power on the inside of that seed to transform your life. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The thing he'll try and steal is the word from your heart. Jesus said, when the sower scatters the seed, the devil comes and tries to steal the seed from taking root on the inside of a person's heart, because the Word of God is what's going to transform your life. Now, I can't do any more than that, than deliver the Word of God to you. The rest is up to you. You got to take that Bible and read it and digest it into your system. This final scripture is to sum up all that we've been talking about. Now, the just shall live by faith, but if anybody shrinks back, diminishes in size by walking backwards, retreating from the battle, retreating from the giants. Oh, the giants are so big and we're so small. Let's go back. They shrunk back into the wilderness until they died. Only two people survived. It was the people of faith. And they took the new generation in to possess the land. The new generation is the new creation person. The old nature does not possess the land of Canaan, your promised land. It's the born-again nature, the image of God that Christ has formed in you. My soul, but if anyone shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to perdition. Everybody say that with me. But we are not those who shrink back to perdition. But we are those who believe to the saving of our soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Go on, give the Lord a
thanks for listening to the Phil Pringle Podcast. Check out philpringle.com to follow Phil's blog and latest resources. Join us next time for more great teaching.